The U.S. Census, the attendance, the roll call we take of ourselves every 10 years is under a big cloud of controversy because of the Trump administration move to add the question, is this person responding a citizen of the United States? But the Census Bureau is going ahead with a test census to see what kind of an effect that question will have. Nearly 250,000 randomly selected households will be asked to fill out forms with the question on it. Another 250,000 will fill out forms without it. NPR national correspondent Hansi Lo Wang is here. Hi, Hansi.
Hey, Robin.
So as we know, the census question is being asked or questioned in the courts and in Congress. Last night, the ACLU and other advocacy groups asked the Supreme Court to delay ruling on that citizenship question's legal fate because of newly discovered documents about the alleged motivation of the question. Do we know first what impact that had?
We don't know. We're waiting to see what the Supreme Court will do with this request, and we're still waiting to see what the justices say. We do know that these documents were first disclosed a few weeks ago, where the plaintiff's attorneys got connected with the estranged daughter of a former GOP redistricting strategist, Thomas Hoffler. He died last year. His daughter came across his hard drives, came across files that included documents that the plaintiffs here are alleging that show, they say, a strategy that the Trump administration wanted to use a citizenship question on the 2020 census to ultimately politically benefit Republicans and non-Hispanic white people during the next round of redistricting, the next round of drawing political maps after the 2020 census. The Trump administration says that Thomas Hoffler, his ideas did not play any role in their request for a citizenship question. They say this question was added, they say, to better enforce part of the Voting Rights Act, specifically protections against discrimination of racial and language minorities and their voting rights. But it is a big question right now whether or not the courts will allow these new documents and these new allegations to proceed, and how that might affect the thinking of the Supreme Court as well as the other judges involved in other lawsuits around the country.
Right. And the other piece is yesterday the Trump administration exerted executive privilege over documents related to the origin of the citizenship question because lawmakers have been asking for them as they try to figure out what's their political motivation here. Do we know if those documents were among the documents that the Trump administration refuses to let lawmakers see?
Well, there are a lot of documents. When we're talking about the citizenship question, there was a long paper trail. The documents that the House Oversight and Reform Committee has been asking for from the Trump administration, these are emails, internal emails, memos within the Justice Department and Commerce Department. And some of them we've seen, they've been released before for the lawsuits, but most many of them are heavily redacted. And so the Democrats on the House Oversight Committee said that they want to see the full versions. And right now the Trump administration is pushing back, and they've already previously claimed privileges, attorney-client privilege, say because of ongoing lawsuits, they can't release the full versions of these documents. Now they've, the Trump administration is claiming executive privilege. Ultimately, this could spark another court battle over the citizenship question, specifically about these emails. And the House Democrats are interested in these emails because they want to see if there are any additional clues to what they believe could be the real motivation for this question.
Well, there was already a national study in 2018 that found that the citizenship question could be a huge deterrent to participation in the census. Presumably, people who are in the country illegally would be afraid of exposing themselves. Now, of course, non-citizens can't vote, but this count is how representational districts are carved out. Republicans are saying non-citizens give Democrats an advantage. Democrats are saying there's more to the census than that. It's also used for appropriating federal dollars, and we need to know where everybody is. But what, you know, when the actual testimony was given for the question, what did Republicans say about how this would help them enact the Voting Rights Act if they had the question in it?
Well, this is an argument brought forth by the Trump administration, and the Justice Department submitted a formal letter to the Census Bureau saying that the Trump administration wants to have more detailed citizenship data. There already is citizenship data that the federal government relies on, and it is collected by the Census Bureau, but it's not through the census form. It's through what is known as the American Community Survey. It's a smaller survey. About 1 in 38 households receive it every year. It continues. It's an ongoing survey. But that provides estimates of how many citizens there are in any given community in the country. But that has been adequate for the government to enforce part of the Voting Rights Act, specifically Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. It's relied right on estimates of how many citizens there are in the country of voting age. Mm-hmm. But the Trump administration is making the argument that it wants more detailed citizenship data so it can better enforce that part of the Voting Rights Act. You talk to voting rights advocates, they are skeptical of that reasoning. They don't think there is a data problem. You know, one thing to point out here is that if you were to have more detailed citizenship data, and this is a point that's outlined by Thomas Hoffler, that GOP strategist in one of his files, if you have this detailed citizenship data from a citizenship question on the 2020 census, you are able at the state and local level to draw districts based not on the total population of every person living in the country, living in the area, all residents, which is how it's been done for decades, but instead you could draw districts solely based on who are just U.S. citizens or citizens of voting age. And that could drastically remake the political map and reshape it after the 2020 census. That is one possible consequence here, not related directly to the enforcement of the better protection of the voting rights of racial minorities.
NPR national correspondent Hanzi-Lil Wang, stay right there because I know sitting next to you is our historian, Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton, who helps us put these things in historical perspective. And Julian, we know that the Census Bureau has set July 1st as the time, the deadline they need to start printing the real 2020 forms. That's right around the corner. But what if the founding fathers want? I mean, do we know? Because the Constitution reads, representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians, they wrote, not taxed. Did they debate this? Did we know what they wanted?
Well, it's pretty clear the intention of this is to set up the numerical foundation for apportionment and also for tax purposes. The founders certainly were not where we are today in terms of concepts of citizenship, whether you're talking about Native Americans and slavery. What is clear is in the 20th and 21st century, the direction of politics, of judicial rulings, went against doing what the Trump administration might have been trying to do. So for me, it's less about the founding than 1964 when the Supreme Court issued the one man, one vote ruling and said subtle forms of voter suppression and discrimination needed to end. And what we're seeing now is a reaction to that. And the question is this move an effort to overturn that kind of legitimate count?
Julian, we're going to keep an eye on that story. It is a big one. But I want to ask you about another thing that the president is turning heads on this week. He told George Stephanopoulos of ABC News that if a foreign country offered him dirt on an opponent, like happened in the 2016 election, that he would take it. I think we have that tape now.
I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
Julian, your thoughts. Even the president's allies, people like Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, said that was a mistake.
Well, it is. And that's not legitimate given the kind of information that Stephanopoulos was talking about. And this wasn't an off-the-cuff comment and that we've heard variations of this before. And this gets to the heart of what the 2016 campaign was about, gets to the heart of how he perceives normal rules of law and order. And moments like that are very revealing. But some say President Trump believes at some level strategically by saying everything out in the open, he neutralizes it. Yeah. And if he is saying it, then how can it be wrong? It's the ultimate Nixonian philosophy. But I think, it put a lot of his defenders obviously off base because very few people agree with the president on this.
Well, but what is the law? We know that it's illegal to get financial contributions from a foreign government, but information is, we understand, murkier and it hasn't been tested in court. You know, is it something of value? Is it like money? This is one of the reasons Mueller didn't charge on this because it's a murky area.
It is murky, although FBI Director Wray has said this is something that should be reported to them. We've had other campaigns that get murky information and do turn it over and report it, including Al Gore. And we're also, at least if 2016 is the precedent, talking about stolen information. So you know, given the context of the efforts to intervene in elections, this isn't just free-floating information that comes the president's way. And I think that at some level, President Trump knows that.
Well, and he also said today that taking dirt from foreign governments would be a lot like sitting down with any head of government today. He said, you know, I just met with the Queen of England, but it's not really the same thing, is it?
Well, no, it's not. And we're talking about governments in adversarial relations with the U.S. that are consciously undertaking cyber campaigns to undermine the election. So at some level, the president should have an instinct that says, no, I don't want that. Certainly. And the fact he says it in a public interview is incredibly revealing.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe he's just revealed that that is what he does when he has those off-the-record conversations with leaders like Putin. Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
And Hansi Lo Wang, thank you as well.
You're welcome.